then the does this pattern make any sense question, and then there's a third question, which is, well, what's the economic use of this property if we do nothing and leave it as R1, right? I assume they're either owned or rented by people who are living in them.
They're rental homes right now.
Well, this isn't a bad rental market, and that's not a bad location to have a rental property, right? So it's not like the owner can't earn a reasonable return from the property.
In terms of the land use pattern, it is abutting on two sides urban center designation. That's the mixed use designation that's given to pretty much all of the mixed use designations within about 20 or 30 blocks of the central city.
I'm sorry, I'm not seeing that at all in this map. It looks to me like it's
that one here.
It's M15.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
The red
on two sides.
Yeah.
All right. On two sides, it would be mixed use urban center.
But essentially, though, that this is saying that these buildings are not going to get knocked down, and do we want to give a bonus to the owner?
Right.
You could use them as commercial buildings if you know, like you see on some commercial streets with historic homes turned into boutiques or something.
What was the planning PSC recommendation on this?
They said no to this and left it as R1.
If the property owner is not intending to demolish, and to use Commissioner Fritz's word, we give them a bonus, the opportunity to transfer the FAR and to then monetize whatever their proceeds, why do we care about that? I mean, one way or another.
Right. What's the public interest in that?
I mean, I understand they have to. There's an additional cost of maintaining a historic structure, and these are Victorian, and we want them to be maintained to a certain standard. So that seems to me to weigh in favor of giving them a break. But what's the counterargument?
The counterargument.
Assuming there's no risk to demolition.
Assuming there's no risk to demolition, there is no counterargument. I think the concern of the neighborhood was that there would still be a risk of demolition. But I think the factor that it is on the National Register is a mitigating factor.
It seems to me we should be making a policy about what bonuses are we going to give to National Historic Register properties rather than this one happens to be in this particular location, so let's change the zoning even though we're not actually, and just give this particular property owner a transfer bonus.
Well, fair enough, but I mean, this has been a long and complex process. Anyone has the right to come forward with a claim, and we may or may not get to that point. I'm just trying to find out, now that we're pretty confident that we're not creating, there's not some loophole here where it can be demolished and the person also gets the benefit of the transfer. It seems to me to be a closer call, and I haven't heard a compelling argument as to why it's against the public interest to do this.
To give the developer, to give the owner a bonus?
Yeah.
What's the argument to give the, what's the public interest to give the?
Well, I think it's closer to, I would say, a wash, but I mean, these are historic structures. There's a cost of maintaining them. They're in the National Registry. And the person has accepted a certain limitation on their ability to develop the site. They've got the cost of maintaining historic properties. If this creates some economic benefit that's used to maintain these or other properties, why would we care?
Why wouldn't we do that citywide rather than just on this property?
That's not before us.
Well, the whole, yes, it is. The whole comprehensive plan is before us.
No, but that's not what's before us. We don't have the citywide making that request. This is one historic site which is contextual. And I'm just trying to find out why I should vote against it, and I haven't heard a compelling argument yet.
If you wanted to implement Commissioner Fritz's sentiment, I think what you would say is vote no, but then direct us to come up with a citywide code change that gets equivalent incentives into the multifamily zone so that there's not this choice.
Yeah, because I guess my public purpose, Commissioner Fishing, in advocating for that approach is the savvy folks who've been engaged in this process came in with the request. There may be other properties in a similar situation with the historic designation that didn't know that this was the time to come in and ask for that. And so it would, to me, be much fairer and more equitable if it's a citywide policy rather than, yeah, you got your request in, so we're going to grant it.
I have one last question because if we did something by way of a citywide policy and we direct you to do that, which I know you love it when we keep directing you to do all kinds of things, but if we direct you to do that, do we have the power in whatever we craft to say we will consider giving you this benefit, but you have to give us even a higher level of assurance that you're not going to remove the designation or demolish?
We do ask for a covenant with those kinds of transfers.
So we would have an additional insurance policy in effect.
Yeah, and we could also, Commissioner, talk about what we're going to give you this additional economic benefit. What are we going to get for that? And we had talked about height bonuses in some instances going for affordable housing. If we don't just give this away now but make it a package, we could look at the whole public benefit to giving a bonus.
And what happens, Commissioner Fritz, if a year from now a new council hasn't been able to agree on that approach? Does this applicant have an opportunity to come back and be reheard on this question?
The comp plan isn't static, so there's nothing preventing an applicant from individually asking for an amendment outside of the big overhaul process that we're doing.
They would just be assuming the
cost of the application.
Cost of that change, because unless it's part of an area plan, it's up to the
individual. Joe, do you feel strongly one way or another on this?
I'm trying to parse it. The idea of the transfer that could be available here really only happens if we stay the course of where we are with our mixed-use zoning code to implement the central city or to implement these types of centers. In the new code, we're looking at allowing historic transfers, correct? That's the distinction. So it gets a little speculative because of that, because now we're needing to design or rethink exactly what that bonus system is going to be like, because we are counting on being in an inclusionary housing system as well. So some of the assumptions that we were carrying into this discussion about what the bonuses and transfers would be like in the mixed-use centers are just uncertain. It's not that they won't happen, but they could. So we could make this change. It could turn out that the transfer permission to transfer development potential from a property like this doesn't make it into the code for a variety of good reasons, not against historic, but for other reasons, then you've made a change to a new designation for a purpose that couldn't be delivered. So the one thing to be grounded in is that if you want to change to that designation, it's the right designation, no matter what happens with these properties. That would be...
With the buildings.
Yeah, the buildings. Sorry. Excuse me. Yes. That's your foundation piece.
Where do you come out on that?
It's proximate. If I was just looking at the pattern and not the buildings, since the buildings have protection under the national, their national status, I thought they were Oregon status. Proximity-wise, it's in a center kind of location, correct?
It's in a strip contiguous with other commercial.
Yeah,
so
we've made this kind of addition in lots of other parts of the city because it's all contiguous. They just didn't have these particular houses and their value on them. They're at those assets.
Right.
They're protected through our national register. They may or may not really qualify for a transfer, depending on how that law turns out. The change doesn't necessarily put them at, it increases potentially the amount that could be developed on the site that could create an incentive for someone to come in and go through the process of demolishing. It's our highest level protection, though, that they have against that demolition.
Okay, well, I don't want to spend too much more time on this because I think we may be ready to act.
This is the most debated issue of the comp plan.
Well, it's really important, and it's really important, and actually I respect these folks very much at the Planning Bureau, but actually I think there's a little bit of a philosophical difference here between our staff and the commissioner in charge. That's okay. You know, you're professionals. We all work together. I have a really strong bias on this stuff, which is it's the Hippocratic Oath. Don't screw it up. Don't lose the old buildings. And they look at the map and the land use as planners because that's what we want them to do, right? And so I am less capable of looking at a site like this and separating the site from the buildings that are on it than they are. And so I gravitate towards try to give it as much protection as possible until the rest of the regulatory framework is in place.
Okay.
So in that case, I'm going to vote to maintain the R1 here.
Okay.
And not make the change, but I understand.
I move the question, Mayor.
Okay, let's take a vote. Okay, so we are voting again on N15.
This has been a good discussion. I'm going to put in for college credit. And I've listened carefully to the debate, and it has changed my mind. I vote no.
Saltzman?
I'm going to vote yes.
Novick?
I still think that we should do this. I think that there's always a risk that the properties will fall into disrepair, and the owner will ask to have them delisted. And we've got an owner here who wants to use the FR bonus money in order to further invest in the properties. Aye.
Fritz.
I very much appreciate the willingness to reconsider, and I think this was one of the most important discussions that we're going to have as part of this whole process as to how do we reach multiple goals. I want to be able to do that on multiple properties citywide, and I don't want to give things away before we've figured out what do we get for it. So I vote no.
Hills.
Yeah, I appreciate the discussion as well. It also helped re-clarify how I'm going to proceed on some of these that are closer calls because of the historic designation here. But we have system-wide work to do. We need more historic districts. We need to give people the ability to transfer density and otherwise obtain benefits to give them even stronger incentives to keep the great old buildings they have. But that needs to be systemic rather than episodic on individual properties. So I vote no. Okay, S20.
So S20, as the slide shows, is a collection of properties just a block up the hill or a couple blocks up the hill. And this is kind of flipping the facts of the last one on their head. These are properties that the Planning Commission had changed to mixed use because they're predominantly built with commercial development on them. They had been zoned a combination of R2 and R2.5, and the Planning Commission, again, changed that to mixed use. The buildings in question are in these slides here. There's a CenturyLink building, Nemo and Sons, another CenturyLink building, a couple other properties at 16th. For the most part, these are commercial properties. They're on a major transit route. Staff didn't think that it was appropriate to have such a low-density residential zone on these commercial properties, and the Planning Commission agreed. So the staff recommendation was to not support this amendment.
What designation of mixed use is recommended by the Planning Commission?
This is urban center, consistent with all the other commercial designations on this street.
And is the concern of the neighborhood that that would be too intense if it would, they were redeveloped?
Well, there's a second tier of the discussion, which is what is the zoning? The urban center allows a choice of small, medium, and large zones, so you can make that choice at the zoning level. In this case, this is still zoned neighborhood commercial, or it would be the middle zone of density within the on the zoning map.
It could be residential as well.
It would be corridor designation rather than.
Well, the way that the urban center designation works is it allows the full range of density. It's the designation that we applied to the inner ring close in neighborhoods and the town centers. The current zoning is CS in this vicinity,
right.
With a little bit of, as you go down the hill into the central east side, it gets denser. But right now, the zoning map proposes the CM2 in this area.
And is there a way to make sure that we get CM2 rather than anything more intense?
You can direct us. That's what we've already done on the proposed map, and you can certainly communicate that to the Planning Commission. And you'll see the map in the fall when you adopt the map, so you can review that then. I do want to make clear, though, that the urban center does allow one to ask for an upzone. So there's no absolute guarantee that no one in the future would never be able to get CM3 here.
But that's not a zone change in conformance with the comp plan, right?
That is, yeah, because the urban center allows the full range of density.
So that's simply a ministerial action.
That's a ministerial action. It still is a review and is a Type 3 review.
So what's the lower designation that would allow the current kinds of CS zoning and not allow the very high intensity?
The zoning is the CM2 that would allow what's...
On the comp plan.
Yeah, that's it, right?
I'm sorry, I'm not... CM2 is the zoning designation that is the medium scale.
Right, but this is urban center?
Yeah.
Is there another designation that would only allow the 1 and 2 rather than allowing the 3 later?
The neighborhood center designation, but I want to just say that the entire comp plan policy is structured to not support putting that designation so close to the central city. The urban design framework and the centers and corridors strategy says basically that we put urban center close to the central city and in the town centers. So you would have to unravel quite a bit more of the comp plan policy structure to make that designation.
So you recommend a no vote on motion B?
Yes.
And the Buckman Neighborhood Association is supporting motion B?
Yes. Well, the neighbors. People from Buckman have written
residents
in.
Residents of the neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the reason there's some discomfort here in my mind and maybe in others is that going to the full central city intensity here seems like it may be going too far. But going to R2.5 on a main street like Belmont makes no sense. So I think what Commissioner Fritz and I are groping for is how do you peg this at a reasonable level of density for redevelopment, because these buildings are likely to redevelop if we give, you know, say the opportunity to build a 3 or 4 story mixed use building on the site of a 1950s office building, that's the outcome we're seeking. What we're not seeking is a 10-story apartment building.
Well, to be clear, the mixed use, the urban center designation doesn't get you to 10 stories. It gets you to six or seven with bonuses at the most.
That would be a lot. That would be too much for this neighborhood.
So, again, there's a fabric on Belmont that's good. It can get better with redevelopment if there are buildings not particularly worthy of preservation that aren't particularly dense. Some of this qualify, or parking lots, which some of this is, we want to see mixed-use 3 and 4 story development in a place like this, right?
So I guess I want to just back up a little bit that the zoning is what's going to control the scale of the building, not
for
the
now.
Comp plan designation.
No, if we have a comp plan designation of urban center, it can eventually
then
go
the
up
to 7 or 8
stories.
The property owner can walk
stories.
Into the permit counter and get a zone change in conformance with the comp plan. And
still
have to go through
there's
land
a public
review.
Hearing process.
It wouldn't come to us, though.
Okay.
Yeah, it would likely come to you on appeal. Or
well, and just not necessarily the environment we want to set
up. How can you
help
us out here if we don't want this intensive development?
Well, I want to back up to the structure of the comp plan, which is if you're saying urban center is not appropriate in this location, about half of the urban center designations in the city are in similar kind of context. So you're making a pretty broad statement about the applicability of the comp plan designation if that's where you're going.
Well, I think what we're saying is that it shouldn't just be a circle of a certain amount of radius around a point. It should be you look at each neighborhood. This mm-hmm. is very proximal to the city center. It's also the Buckman neighborhood. So it's not appropriate for central city type development.
I just want to – so my name is Marty Stockton. I'm the city planner and the Southeast District Liaison. That on April 28th, there was a vote to extend the mixed-use urban center designation all the way to 49th on Belmont and all the way to 51st on Division.
Vote by whom?
By the City Council.
We did that?
You did that.
Help us out.
but that's along a corridor.
This is Belmont. This is a corridor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
from the Buckman neighborhood, which has a different feel from 49th and Belmont.
So from 12th Avenue to 49th on Belmont, right now the proposal is mixed-use urban center. And with the recent change from 42nd to 49th that was voted on April 28th by City Council.
This is why we didn't make final decisions.
Yeah. One thing that I'd like to just jump in here is that staff's recommendation is really to acknowledge the non-conforming uses that are on Belmont. The conversation about intensity is really best saved for the zoning map. So if there is a sense on intensity and scale, then we can have that conversation on the zoning map.
And I think we should. And that's why, again, there's got to be a path here that isn't, and frankly, I remember that vote about the corridors. Now I remember it. Sure, we want to designate those corridors and centers for mixed-use redevelopment. But I don't think we want to leave it to the property owners to determine the level of intensity. I think we want to map that. And that's what I thought the three flavors of mixed use were going to get us.
At the zoning scale, they do get you there. The other thing maybe that's missing from this conversation is that it's not entirely the property owner's whim. There are purpose statements to each of these zones, and so you can't necessarily just plop down the CM3, the most intense, in all contexts. It's the purpose statement says it's supposed to be in areas that are generally not abutting single family, generally near multifamily areas near the central city or in town centers. So, there is some code and policy that governs where those zoning designations go should someone apply for a zone change.
Yeah, the zone change in compliance with the comp plan, though, that it's pretty minimal, at least currently. If it's going to be more, that'll be great.
Well, that's what we're proposing, is that there's an urban design element to where the zones go, and
so
there's additional criteria.
When is the zoning map and those changes going to come to council?
Well, they're going through the Planning and Sustainability Commission right now, actually, or the new mixed-use zoning code.
So are we guaranteed they'll be done before the end of the year through council?
They are supposed to be done by December, yes.
Okay.
We've reserved space on your calendar for that.
If you want to know, last night we had, a four-hour hearing on it, and this was a big part of the debate, and it was going in the opposite direction, though, because we've made a move to put lower commercial zoning on some parts of centers, and there was this community push, and property owner push, to be fair, against that. So it's going to be a debate all the way to the end.
And just one other thing, the way that we have structured the mixed-use urban center designation is that is the designation that would be proposed with the design overlay. So other areas, so the mixed-use neighborhood and the mixed-use dispersed, would not have the design overlay. So that is something that we have heard from the Southeast community that is important to them.
Would not? I'm sorry.
So the mixed-use urban center would get the expansion of the design overlay. The other designations would not.
I get it. Okay. So I think I'm ready. I know some others of the council are probably ready to vote on this. I think I am, too. I'm going to not support the amendment to downzone this to R2.5, but I want to return to the zoning map questions with an even greater level of rigor, because I think, we're not going to make everybody happy here, but there's a level of intensity and a level of design that can make redevelopment of these kinds of parcels work. But there's also, I think you're hearing on the council, a sense of how much scale is appropriate and how much is too much. But clearly R2.5 isn't the right place to peg this.
Yeah.
So everybody ready to vote?
I move the motion, Mayor.
Let's take a vote, please. So the voting aye means to change to R2.5 and R1.
Fish.
No.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
No.
Ritz?
Another good discussion. No.
Fails.
No. Okay, the amendment fails. All right. Let's move on.
So now we're moving next door to the residential portion of Buckman, and so this is a slightly different. This comes back to the mosaic question that Commissioner Fritz raised earlier. This is a section of Buckman just to the north of where we were just talking about, between Stark and Morrison. It's currently zoned R5 and designated as R5 on the current comp plan. The Planning Commission had recommended changing that to R2.5. This is just a closer look at that area. Some houses in there. The rationale for the change was that most of the houses in this area are duplexes or triplexes or higher. And so this was an issue of sort of non-conforming density. There's about 140 dwellings in this area subject to this amendment. 36 of them are single-family homes, and only six of those are on lots that are dividable in the R2.5 zone. So it's essentially built to R2.5 density or higher. The average density is actually 25 units to the acre, which is slightly above the R2. Of the 60 lots in the area, 33 are less than 2,500 square feet. And this map kind of illustrates this. To orient you, the The blue buildings are multifamily buildings of four or more units. The orange buildings are duplexes. The yellow lots are lots smaller than the R5 standard. And the green are essentially single-family houses on 5,000-square-foot lots, which is those are the only lots that really meet the R5 standards in this area. So that's why staff's recommendation was to change this to recognize the existing density.
So we have four motions. We're on page 8, and this is probably going a little slower than we hope. Mayor, can I ask, is there a strong support among two colleagues for any of the motions?
Ones are requested by Commissioner Salzman and me.
Yeah, so that
for me?
That
means
yes, I think there are.
Which,
there are.
Which motion has a strong, has at least two members of council feeling strongly about?
On this particular amendment? Or on
this one, yeah. We have four motions that we could bring or vote them all down. Is there an A, B, C, or D? Is there a...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are there two colleagues who feel strongly about any of these?
Oh, I feel strongly about this. Yes.
But there's some refinements. I want to see if we can identify one that has some support and
the one that several of you asked staff to explore was this larger mosaic question about what is this really unique or is there a larger area that's got this problem? And so the map I'm putting on the screen is a map of the wider sort of Buckman Kern Sunnyside area where there's a bit of a similar pattern of duplexes and multifamily mixed into some of the R5 areas. And the request, which I think is represented by motion D, essentially was to hold off on zoning changes here, but direct us to explore either a plan district or an overlay zone as we come forward with the next steps that would apply in a wider area of this that shares similar characteristics but is zoned R5, and where you would, in that tailored code, you would do two things. You would essentially for lots that are 5,000 square feet, you would maintain that requirement. So that would protect the remaining single-family large lot homes that are there, the older historic homes, and then also allow infill up to the R1 level as long as you're not demolishing an older building or if you've got a vacant site. And so that was sort of, a new flavor of zoning packaged for what we would do is look at a wider area and come back to you with some kind of a code solution at the plan district or overlay level. The map on the screen shows you the study area geography in the Buckman-Kurd Sunnyside area. There's also a similar kind of situation going on in Sullivan's Gulch, Irvington, and parts of Elliott. There's a little bit of a slightly milder form of that going on in south near the Clinton Station area. And so we would look at all those areas and come back with not something that matched those boundaries, but something that was sensible within looking at those different areas.
So would we hold off on changing the zoning in all three of those areas?
The zoning wasn't proposed to change in those other areas, so okay. you would essentially, motion D would hold off on changing the zoning. It would leave R5 in place now, but it would direct us to come back with exploration of this different flavor of zoning for this, what we'd call the inner ring problem with middle housing and the mosaic of uses.
Thank you. So I strongly support motion D, and I appreciate Commissioner Novick for formulating these three options.
And I'll second motion D.
All right. Discussion on D?
Are we ready to vote?
Let's
take a vote.
Actually, after due deliberation, I'm going to oppose my own motion. Do you know?
All right.
Why?
We'll see if the rest of us can't help you out. Go ahead. Let's take a vote, please.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
So what I was doing with motion D was hang on a second. Let me check it.
These semaphore signals, yes.
Yeah.
No.
PD, the rescue.
D.
D. Yeah. That's your leaves at R5 and then says do the overlay.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready, Steve?
Yes.
I'm a no.
The argument is that a lot of the houses
east of Loanfer are very small, and we'd be creating a density bonus that works primarily for conversions, which wouldn't make much sense here.
Fritz.
So my understanding is that with this motion, we're not changing any of zoning.
So other way around. So.
Is that correct that we're...
The motion depends on you acting later on the second part. Effectively, what you're doing now is holding off on the zone, on the comp plan change for this area, and asking us to come back to you with zoning later that
right.
tries a different approach.
But it leaves
approach.
It in R5, where it's R5.
For today.
So
yes.
the details of what that zoning does would be subject to another vote later.
Yeah.
Right, but we'd be directing you to explore... New zoning concepts.
New zoning concepts that allow this mosaic, that support the buildings that aren't single-family houses, that don't create an undue incentive to convert the single-family houses. And in exploring this, at your all's encouragement, we've come up with this approach and see that actually it could apply to the large parts of this inner ring, so that's why we're enthusiastic about that approach.
The pro and con that we've heard on this is, the pro is that it helps deal with the issue that raised the objection in Buckman. We have heard some con from some folks who don't think this goes far enough and they would like it just upzoned sooner. So that's the trade-off.
All right. Steve, are you ready?
Ready.
You did vote.
I did vote.
Are you going to stick with your...
Okay. Yes.
All right. Commissioner Fritz.
Well, that's too bad that you voted against an amendment, which I think is brilliant. So, yes.
Yes.
Well, again, appreciate. I know this is complicated and a little bit frustrating, but there's a body of work here where actually I think there's a great deal of agreement. One is we are in this comp plan trying out some new planning tools like these mixed use designations to replace old tools like the storefront commercial zone, and we're trying to figure that out as we go along. Secondly, I think I'm hearing a very strong agreement on the council about preserving the pattern in places like Buckman that happened before zoning and that zoning alone won't protect. We're going to need additional new tools like the process that you're embarking on here, but that we have a very strong bias towards the preservation of existing structures. That does not preclude turning some of those structures into multifamily units that started out as single-family houses, thus the middle density discussion. I think there's a way all this comes together. But again, I'm going to keep practicing the Hippocratic Oath, try to not screw it up, and make it likely that good old buildings get torn down. Aye. Okay, motion D is adopted.
You're not quite out of Buckman yet. One more.
All right. We like Buckman.
Where is this one
in
relation to the bubble that we just drew?
It's adjacent. This is abutting the northeast corner of what you just discussed. Slightly different situation. These are some multifamily projects, one of which is owned by Home Forward. That's too far. The distinction here, this is also wrapped up in whether this should be R5. The Planning Commission recommended R1. The Home Forward property is currently developed at a lower density than R1, and the current R5 designation kind of prevents redevelopment of that site for additional affordable housing units. So it's the...
So Home Forward requested the change?
Supports the change because it would allow more flexibility for future improvements on the site and potentially additional units or reconfiguration.
They support the plan as proposed.
They support the PSC recommendation.
And the
not
amendment reverses that.
Correct.
And takes it back to R5.
Correct.
For just this site.
And they're currently developed with multifamily?
It is a multifamily.
It's a 10-unit multifamily development on a 10,000-square-foot site. So it is R1.
Developed as R1. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Anybody have any further questions about this one? I guess it's a little easier. Okay. Roll call, please.
Fish?
No. Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
No.
I think this one may have been an error on my part. No.
Hales.
No. Okay. All right. M42. So there's, why don't you tell us, I'll move the adopt map amendment M42 as refined by the mayor's April 28th memo. Is there a second for that?
And you recall that the...
Okay, now explain what we're trying to do here now as opposed to what we were considering doing before.
You recall the original amendment came out of testimony during your hearings that a property owner requested that you consider additional mixed use on this section of Fremont between Vancouver and Mississippi. And so on the left side of the screen is the original amendment proposal. You also got the proposal generated quite a bit of debate in the Boise neighborhood and some division from different folks. Some property owner opposition from some of the affected property owners. The revision to that expressed in the mayor's memo was to scale it back to a smaller number of properties that the property on the left is owned by an affordable housing provider, and the other properties on the right-hand side are the essentially the properties of the and the other vacant sites associated with the original request. So it's a scaled back version of the initial proposal in recognition that there was quite a bit of opposition to the original proposal.
But the ones on the right are vacant?
The one on the left side of the right currently has an affordable housing project on it. The ones on the right-hand side of the right picture are vacant. So on the left side here where my cursor is, that would allow if the owner, which is an affordable housing provider, wanted to increase density and build a larger project there, they could. The one on the right is where there's a community garden, but it's privately owned by the person who requested the amendment.
But all that property on the left is currently R1.
In both cases, the properties are either R2 or R2.5?
So I think there's potentially a case to be made for the one on the left since it's already at greater than 2 or 2.5, is it?
It's the ones on the left are R2, and I'm not sure why it says R2.5. I think they're both R2. There may
so
be an
changing
error.
Changing the designation. So we heard a lot of testimony that there's already a lot of congestion and a lot of mixed use in the corridors, and that there wasn't support for the neighborhood, the changes in the neighborhood.
You heard testimony from folks in the neighborhood expressing concern. You heard testimony in favor from North Northeast Business Association.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is an attempt to narrow the question and focus the change on just those properties.
One of the things about the street classification is that it's currently a local service street, which may need to be revisited when the TSP street classifications come to council. It may make sense to look at that given these designations.
But if we left it at R2, that wouldn't necessarily change.
Correct.
So, Mayor, I appreciate your willingness to propose something that's more surgical. I think it still should stay R2, given the intensity of uses elsewhere, particularly on Williams and Vancouver.
Yeah, and I think there will be traffic regardless. We could say that about the future of Portland. There will be traffic. So what kind of pattern and place do we want to create is the more important question to me. Is this a place where a small amount of redevelopment makes sense? It's a close call.
Yeah, the question is, would it be mixed use or would it be purely residential?
Right.
So I that's the concern I have, is changing it to mixed use.
I move the motion.
Okay, ready to vote? Let's take a vote, please. So again, this is on a map amendment that would extend the mixed-use designation to that smaller set of parcels, right? From R1. Okay, roll call.
Fish.
No.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
No.
Hales.
Aye. Okay, that's done. All right, let's keep going. M45 and M71. Let me take them together.
So this is involving the 60th Avenue station area, and then there were some refinements through the mayor's subsequent memos. It also includes
Euclid Heights.
Yeah, this includes also on a subsequent sorry, I'm moving through because I lost the screen with the picture of Euclid Heights.
This isn't Euclid Heights. This is 60th, right?
This is the station area.
Yeah.
We had included Euclid, so let's, for sake of not confusing people, let's pull Euclid out of this to address that next.
So that's 71? Which one is which?
It's one of the items in your subsequent memo.
You're going to have to help me there. So which amendment is which?
They're both involving the 60th Avenue station. Euclid was mentioned in your memo, so let's just pull that for now and
come back.
All right,
let's pull that out and consider the 60th properties, right? That's what's before us, and that's M45?
Yeah, so first M45. This came originally from the Rose City Park neighborhood, and they requested sort of a reconfiguration of the zoning at north of the 60th Avenue MAX station.
Right. All right, let me get this in play. I move to adopt map amendment M45 as refined by the mayor's April 11th.
Second. And, Mayor, this does appear to have broad community support. Yes. I move the motion.
Everybody good on this one?
Well, I think that we just got a letter from the Anti-Displacement Coalition saying that they advocated no vote because these decrease allowable density around the 60th Avenue light rail station. So I'd just like to hear staff respond to that argument.
This doesn't change the density so much as reconfigure it, because it moves, it adds mixed-use zoning along a spine of 60th. It reduces the intensity in the neighborhood from RH to R1, but the number of units is comparable because of the mixed-use addition.
Okay, yeah, and this was something that the neighborhood worked a lot on to try to come up with a pattern that made more sense. I think it does.
And the minor change was involving just showing where the break between the lower intensity to the right-hand side, that lighter purple color, and the neighborhood mixed use here.
No, I think it's all supposed to be neighborhood mixed use, because originally that was dispersed, but once we added the other mixed use along 60th, it all becomes neighborhood mixed use.
That's not what the map is showing, so I'm...
I know, that's a map error. It's supposed to be...
Okay, so to clarify the whole...
Clarify that, Deborah?
All the pink and purple should all be mixed-use neighborhood. Originally, the portion that says CN2, that's a lighter shade, that was a standalone mixed-use originally, so we showed that as dispersed mixed-use. But once we've added the additional area of mixed-use, then it no longer makes sense for that one tail to be dispersed, so we think the whole thing should be neighborhood mixed use. That was what we had worked out.
I think we're on the verge of complicating something that actually had a clear
path. This one might be
simple.
Mayor,
I had called the motion.
Okay, let's take a vote.
Vote on
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Very much appreciate the engagement of the Rose City Park neighborhood and the mayor's amendments. Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay.
So now... Euclid, and I need to find that in my PowerPoint. I think it's at the end as a...
Mm-hmm.
you go. So the Euclid Heights question, which doesn't have an amendment number because it was raised in the mayor's memo, this is a small subdivision, post-war subdivision, that is currently zoned and designated R2.5. It's got kind of a unique curvilinear pattern in there with relatively intact older homes. It probably was originally designated R2.5 because it's not too far from the Hollywood Max stop, but it is up the street a little ways past 47th. And so the amendment request is to take that from R2.5 to R5, I believe based on sort of an argument of preserving neighborhood character.
But this is a classic case, and East Moreland's the same thing on a larger scale, of do we want to create a zoning incentive to tear down the old houses and build higher density? And it's an intact area of well-kept historic homes adjacent to more of the same east and north. So that's why I was very sympathetic to this. I think it needs to be preserved. Same thing with Laurelhurst. I mean, Laurelhurst is right across the walkway from the light rail stop, and it's R5. So I support this amendment. So I would move the Euclid Heights unnumbered amendment.
Second.
Further discussion? Okay, let's take a vote, please.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
I think I'll go with the anti-displacement coalition on this and vote no.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay. Onward.
Okay, that brings us back to the East Moreland Amendment.
Okay. So I think we're all pretty familiar with this one. I move to adopt Map Amendment M74, which would redesignate the East Moreland Plan District as R7 rather than R5. Is there a second? Okay, there's no second. All right, we've got to move on. 46... M35, I move to adopt Map Amendment M35. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so walk us through this one.
This is an amendment that involves creating a slightly deeper node of mixed use at 17th and Sherritt, primarily, which is currently sort of part of the step down on either side of the mixed use. This came from testimony from the Brummel family, which is the property owner. There's been some discussion in the Selwood neighborhood, and I believe the neighborhood has weighed in against it, but I want to look for confirmation.
I believe the term is vehement opposition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Weighed in is one way to put it. Yeah.
I think it's been framed, and I would move the motion, Mayor.
Okay. Ready to vote? Roll call.
Fish.
Nope.
Saltzman?
Yes.
Novick.
I think that this is creates a good opportunity to let more people live near the new Orange Line. And since I somewhat feel a tinge of regret whenever I go into that neighborhood that I wasn't able to stay there in order to use the Orange Line, I think more people should have the opportunity that I'm missing. Yes.
Fritz.
Yeah, I've only to look at the map to see the pattern on this. No.
Yeah, I think that to expand this would overreach. No. Okay. 12. I move to adopt a map amendment number 12. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. This is 17th and Ensley. This is the situation where originally there was going to be a stop and now there isn't, right?
Correct.
So the effect of the amendment is to upzone, right?
The Planning Commission's recommendation was to remove RH from those properties. The amendment, which was from Commissioners Saltzman and Novick, I believe, would restore the RH to those.
Right. So
a yes vote puts RH there, a no vote restores the Planning Commission's recommendation.
Which is R1, right?
I I'm going to look to staff.
Yeah, I think that that would all go to R1, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And there was a neighborhood process we did for this area prior to proposing the original plan that went to the Planning and Sustainability Commission.
So the neighborhood opposes this amendment?
Yes, we also heard testimony opposing that's from the neighborhood.
I don't know if any of you have ever tried to get to this area by bus rather than light rail. It is not an easy thing to do.
It's a slow ride on the number 19. I know it well. Yep, okay.
Well, it's even further than from where you live.
Yeah. It's actually closer in the middle, but still.
Interesting.
Is there ability to put a light rail station in there in the 20-year horizon? I mean, there's no physical impossibility to putting a station.
It's not physically impossible, and they kind of built the light rail so that there's room to do that in the future. There's just no current plan.
Right. When we were doing the smaller area planning process with the neighborhood, we did consult with TriMet, and they said it would be they didn't want to be absolute in their language to say no, but it sounded very unlikely given the configuration of the line when elevated and a number of other reasons. It
seems unlikely,
extremely,
period, or unlikely over 20 years.
It's not in the TSP project list that you've considered, and it's
certainly in the 20-year period would be extremely unlikely. Okay. It'd be quite expensive because of the way they constructed the line to retrofit a station would be quite difficult.
Okay.
Just to clarify, R1 was the staff recommendation, so we vote no, that's what we're keeping?
Correct.
Correct. Okay, ready to vote? Okay, roll call, please.
Fish. No.
Saltzman?
No.
Novick?
No.
Fritz?
No.
Hales?
No. Okay. All right. F-83, Southwest Barber. I move to adopt map amendment F-83, which would change 2815 Southwest Barber from mixed-use urban center to mixed-use neighborhood.
Second.
Okay, give us a little more background on this one, please.
This is the Under Armour site, which is the former Y next to Dunaway Park. It's currently developed with a building that I believe is approximately 30 to 35 feet tall. It's a three-story building. The PSC recommendation was urban center. The zoning designation here right now, I believe, on the zoning map is still under discussion, but the staff proposal was a neighborhood designation. The urban center is what the comp plan was given, which is consistent with what's across the street and to the north. To the south, you can see some of the other properties on First, which have the same color on this map, are also in the neighborhood category because First was a neighborhood corridor. The orange color is our 2.5 in this case.
Yeah. So this is the site adjacent to Dunaway Park, and so the issue is what's the intensity that's possible in redevelopment?
Yeah, and I think the core question is this more like the central city designation to the north, or is it more like the residential neighborhood designation to the south? My recommendation is that it's more like the south, in part because of the impact on the park of a 6 or 7 story building, which would be double the height that it's currently being developed at, and that the current intent over the 20-year period is to perhaps add another story, which can be done under the CN2 designation.
I have a question for staff. How does mixed-use civic corridor compare with mixed-use urban center in terms of allowed building heights?
Similar. The civic corridor's designation is given to streets that are the big boulevards in the city, one of which is Barber, and Sandy or 82nd is another. Because they're wider streets, the height, the zones, the full spectrum of larger mixed-use zones are allowed on those streets. So you could conceptually have a CM3 zone here if it was given the urban center designation or the civic corridor designation.
So back to the question about height, though. I mean, what's the difference?
It's the the urban center would allow the CM3, which would give you a 55-foot height with or 65 with bonuses. The neighborhood would give you more like 45.
And in my eye, this site could go 55, 60 feet. That would not be unreasonable, given the scale of what's to the north of it, right? To the south, it changes. It also, just because of its peculiar location, doesn't shade the park. It's north and east of the park, where a tall building on the south side of a park has a much more serious effect on light in the park. This won't.
I look at this in context and also based on the history of the site, but I move the motion.
Okay, ready to vote? Everybody ready to vote? All right, let's take a vote, please.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
No.
Novick.
I think when you look at the definition of mixed-use urban center, it says this designation is intended for areas that are close to the central city where urban public services are available or planned, including access to high-capacity transit, very frequent bus service, streetcar service. This site is well-served by buses and will be served by a future Southwest Corridor high-capacity transit line. Cross my fingers. No.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hales.
No. That fails. All right. Next. Hayden Island.
So I believe you brought this back because you kind of wanted to see the whole package of things related to Hayden Island, which includes...
Right, the change of the language on the bridge.
Right, the item below it is the change in the language to the project description on the bridge. Since that meeting, we also had brought to our attention testimony that came in at the last minute from Walter Valenta in the Bridgeton neighborhood, expressing concerns of folks there about the dispersed designation, which is they're located on the map to the right and below. And so we've had a request for them to be included in the neighborhood center designation as well there to get mixed-use neighborhood, essentially. So that's a late-breaking sort of request that came in the testimony that arrived in your final hearing that we're just sifting through.
Mayor, could we take a 3-minute break?
Sure.
Just we're losing staff at 5 right. And just absolutely. We're going to 6.
We're going to go to 6 if that's all right.
We're going to
take a 3-minute break for mercy's sake and then come back.
Thank you.
Piece. I mean,
it just came in. It was in the testimony. I just finally got to that part of the file.